In the name of the living and true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." The other day, Diana reminded me of an encounter that I had with Jake a few years ago. I've known him, well, since he was in high school. And Diana and Jake and perhaps some others were walking around the church campus outside here making plans for the wedding. And I hadn't seen Jake for a while. He was busy globe-trotting with his bride-to-be at that stage in his life. Anyway, I came walking up and I saw Diana. I recognized Diana. And then I looked just to the right of her head and I saw this like tree trunk, thigh-looking thing, and looked up to the towering man beside her, which of course was Jake. Now, I don't remember saying this, probably because it was such a traumatic experience for me, but I guess that the first words out of my mouth were, "Don't eat me!" And of course, I was met with those warm eyes, that huge beaming smile, and then I was enveloped in a cavernous hug. Jake was a giant of a man, not just physically. He had a giant heart to match. His love for others, his love for us, ran deep and wide. I think your presence here today bears witness to this. When I think of Jake, my lasting emotional impression is this overwhelming feeling of being lifted up and encouraged by him. I don't remember his exact words to me that day, but the feeling, I felt like I was a little puppy dog and Jake was my affectionate, adoring owner, patting me on the head like, "Good Padre, you keep up the good work." Now, mind you, I mean, I'm the older one. I'm the priest. You'd think I would be the one encouraging him, but that's just who he is. I hadn't seen him in ages, and I felt like he was my biggest cheerleader. And I imagine that I'm not the only one whom Jake encouraged in this way. He made us feel special. This is a unique charism. It is a spiritual gift, the ability to lift others up and to let them know that they have value and that they are loved. Jake was a giant of a man, not just physically, but with a giant heart to match, and his love for others ran deep and wide. The pain we are feeling today is profound. The Old Testament tells us the story of a man named Job, perhaps you've heard the story, who in the course of a day loses everything he has, his livestock, his servants, all of his children, 7 sons, 3 daughters. And hearing of this unspeakable tragedy, Job's friends visit him to try and comfort him. And the scriptures tell us that when they saw Job from a distance, they did not recognize him. And they cried with a loud voice and wept. Each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head. And it says, so they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke to him, for they saw that his affliction was terrible and very great. No one spoke to him, because in the midst of such great sadness, what is there to say? In times such as these, words seem wholly inadequate. There's no way for us to go around this ache of grief and loss that we feel. There's no shortcut. There's no off switch, no choice but to travel through it. And the journey has only just begun. However, we need not travel this road alone. So we are here today in part to share in the burden of grief together. We are also here to lay it before the altar of God. Our Lord bids us to come to him with our heavy hearts. And I would encourage you to continue in the days ahead to lay your burdens and your sorrows before God. Turn your weeping and your lamentations into prayers Do not suffer them alone. Remember the words of the psalmist who writes, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me out of all my terror. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and will save those whose spirits are crushed. We are here today to place our burdens before God and to receive his comfort and grace. And as much as I would like to simply remain silent with you on this day, it is part of my calling as a priest to stand in the midst of the assembly precisely at times such as these and share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can take comfort in this. Jake was not a fan of long sermons. I got you, buddy. We're going to keep this short and sweet. It's natural to wonder what good news could there possibly be at a time like this. Yet it is precisely to our deep sadness and grief and even despair that the good news comes to us as a light piercing into the darkness. The greater the darkness, the more profound the light. The good news is God's direct response to broken hearts such as ours today. And it is this, simply, that death and the pain and the sorrow that it brings that we feel this day is no longer the end of the story. It wasn't supposed to be a part of the story at all. And we tend to overlook this detail because we've never known a world without death, but it's true. The scriptures tell us that everything God created was good, and death is most certainly not good. It was never part of a plan of God's plan for creation. And the death of a young husband, a beloved brother, a precious son, a dear friend, was most definitely not a part of God's plan. Death is the great enemy of humanity, and the sole mission of the Son of God, the Word made flesh, was to solve this great problem, to heal this great sorrow, and to vanquish once and for all the power of death. This he accomplishes through his own death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. When Jesus rises from the dead, he definitively destroys the power of death for good, and he does this for us, because he loves us. In Christ, death no longer has any dominion or power over us. All Christian joy and hope is rooted in this belief that our Lord rose bodily from the dead, and that because Jesus was raised, one day we too shall rise again from the dead and have everlasting life. The resurrection of the dead is like the exclamation mark on the story of the Christian faith, and yet somehow the resurrection of the dead has seemed to fade from the mind of the church, let alone the culture. When we die, we go to heaven. This is generally what we think of, which is definitely part of the story. When we die, or more specifically, when our bodies die, because that's what dies, when our bodies die, our soul departs the body, entering into paradise, where it rests in the nearer presence of God. Thus, that ancient prayer that the souls of the faithful departed would rest in peace. But this is not the end of the story. It's more like the halfway point. The end of the story, the exclamation mark of the Christian faith, is that in the fullness of time, the dead will be raised. When Jesus says, as he does in today's gospel, I am the way and the truth and the life, he is not saying it as a statement of arrogance or exclusivity, as is often misunderstood. It's more like a matter-of-fact description of the work he has come to do, the pathway he has forged for us, his beloved creation. By his resurrection from the dead, he has blasted an escape route, if you like, through the jaws of death, of eternal death, so that we might be able to enter into the joy of everlasting life in perfect union with the living God. When Jesus says, follow me, he's not saying it like for his own personal gain or his own vested interest. He's not trying to gather likes like we do when he says, follow me. He is saying it like a first responder, like an EMT, who, like a rescue worker, is rappelling down into the valley of the shadow of death to lead us safely through it. Follow me this way, he says, out of the valley of the shadow of death and into the light of day, into the light of life. It is in this sense that the risen Christ truly and uniquely gives meaning and purpose and hope and salvation to us weary travelers who are left to carry on our journey through this valley of the shadow of death. We genuinely have nothing to fear in the valley because God is with us. He has come among us in the person of his Son, our Lord, the Good Shepherd, to lead us back to safety, to lead us back to life. In Christ, we have hope in the midst of adversity, hope in the midst of temptation, hope in the midst of sickness and suffering, hope in the midst of grief, hope even in the very face of death itself. Today we are left to carry on our journey through the valley of the shadow of death, even as our brother Jake has completed his. His soul is now at rest in the paradise of God, and his body will rise again. Because Christ was raised from the dead, he too will be raised up at the last day. These days for us and the days ahead are very difficult. They are hard. My prayer for us this day is that our grief and sadness would be tempered with this Christian hope and even joy, that because our Lord was raised from the dead, one day in Christ we too shall be raised with Jake unto everlasting life. Today then is not goodbye. Today is farewell. Rest in peace, brother. And until we meet again in glory, we pray for him. May the Lord bless him and keep him. May the Lord make his face to shine upon him and be gracious to him. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon him and grant him the fullness of his peace. Amen.